Richmond Art Museum in Richmond, Indiana. I'm Kate Jetmore. Today I'm joined by artist Julian Jamal Jones. Welcome, Julian.
Hey, how are you, Kate?
I'm good. Thanks so much for being with me today. Let's start with a little context. Tell us a bit about where you're from and what your childhood was like.
Yeah, of course. So I was born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was born on Christmas Day. My birthday is on Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a Christmas baby. And my mom tells a story. Well, tells me stories all the time about like that experience. And she was one of the only families in the hospital that day. And then when I was born, we moved to the suburbs of like Fisher's area, 91st Street area. And my parents tell me stories about we were one of the first black families in the neighborhood. And a lot of the neighbors really weren't happy about that. A lot of neighbors moved away. Some of them weren't speaking to my parents. So it was a lot of racism in 1992. I was born in 1992.
Okay.
And just growing up, I was a big introvert. I'm still an introvert now. I didn't really feel connected to my identity or just felt lost as a child. Didn't have a lot of friends growing up. So I pandered to art. It was just a way for me to kind of express myself in multiple ways. When I was like 7 or 8, I was in a dance company here in Indianapolis called the Abada Dance Company. I think that was just a good way for me to express myself through movement and music. And I think about that all the time, and I kind of revert back to those days of dance and choreography and how that really helped me get out of my shell in some way. My dad was a DJ, so he was a big influence on me as well. He loved jazz music. I remember him listening to Sade in the car at the house in our basement. We had he had CDs all over the basement. He had a record player. So he was a big influence as well. I was just an artist in general. I also enjoyed culinary arts. So right out of high school, I went to culinary school. And I just remember looking at Emeril Lagasse on Food Network and wanting to be just like him. So I feel like my childhood was just a mix of just everything, music, dance, culinary arts. I was fascinated with fashion. I loved fashion growing up. I remember looking at America's Next Top Model with Tyra Banks and looking at the photo shoots, the creative photo shoots and the costumes and just the styling. So I think just growing up, I was just a very adventurous, very observant individual. Just wanted to pursue art one day and not really knowing like what way I wanted to go with it.
Right.
But I just felt like I had a lot of just a lot of interest and a lot of curiosity about different things. And yeah, that was just kind of me growing up.
Yeah, I mean, what stands out for me is creativity and expression and, you know, channeling life in whatever way. I mean, it was just, here's this thing that we're all going through. How are we going to respond to it? How are we going to, how are we going to share it with others, you know, through what medium? So it sounds like you are above, beyond any defined artistic medium, a creative, you know, as you said, an artist. And I want to go back to, if you're willing to what you were sharing about, you know, your parents moving out of the city to, you know, a suburb in the whether it's Fishers or in the Fishers area. And, you know, how much did those early experiences inform your creative output? I mean, was there a sense of, well, the word that comes to me is safety. I mean, what you said, mm-hmm. there was a lot of conflict there with neighbors moving away, neighbors not talking. How much of that did were you aware of, and how much of that sort of entered into your creativity?
Right, that's a great question. So obviously through the years it got better. The neighborhood started to get more diverse. So probably like when I was in elementary school, we started meeting people that were like us. Blacks started moving in the neighborhood. And one thing I failed to mention is that I have twin brothers as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm the mm-hmm. oldest. And then I have twin brothers, and then I also have a stepsister from my father too. So, it seemed like a lot of the kids in the neighborhood were like younger than me. Like I didn't feel like I had anyone like my age or anyone that I can connect to that I felt that I could connect with. And I think that's just something that I struggle with now as an adult, like being around family and like everyone's all into like sports and athletics and politics. And I'm just the one in the corner, like kind of by myself, just thinking about art and wishing I had someone to talk to about art in some way. So like, I still feel like that now, that I'm like the outcast. And there's not really a lot of people that I can like kind of relate to when it comes to like just my practice, quilting.
Yeah.
Just art as a whole. I feel like that's something I still struggle with now. But to answer your question, I was a baby. I mean, these are stories that my parents are telling me now.
But
when it started to like influence like me as an artist was probably when I was like in elementary school, like when I started to feel like I didn't have anyone to hang out with, or I didn't have anyone to connect with. And really, I feel like my childhood really influences like my practice now, and like how I go about connecting with religion, and how religion really, I feel like in some way saved me, and how telling stories about, I don't know if you're familiar with 106 and Park on BET, and how we really weren't allowed to watch those TV shows growing up, but I used to sneak off and do it anyway. But like looking at shows and watching like Little Kim and like Crime Mob at the time, and Ludacris, and looking at people that were artistic, that liked music, that had dance choreography in the video, something that I was like excited to look at and kind of relate to in some way. So for me, it was like connecting with people on television, which is kind of weird to say. But that kind of made me feel like there's people like me in the world, I feel like. I kind of feel like that show definitely opened the door or opened the lens in a way that there are people like me in the world. I just have to find those type of people.
Right. Yeah, and I'm so grateful to you, Julian, for talking to me today and being so generous with what you're sharing, because there will be people out there listening to this interview who are also going through, you know, wondering, are there people like me? Are there other people who feel like an outcast? Are there other people who are looking for connection and not finding it? And hearing your voice, I can imagine, will come as, you know, a comfort or, you know, a voice in the dark. Let's look at the word quilting, which you mentioned just a moment ago. I came into contact with your work through your quilting pieces. How did you first discover quilting as an art form?
So this is not a long story, but my grandmother was a quilter. So I remember going to her house in Toledo, Ohio, and she was actually in a quilting group. So they would meet once a month, and they used to do like fun activities as a group. It was kind of like a social group, networking, but also they would quilt. Sorry, it's going in the background. It was actually my grandmother's, gifted it to my mom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she did. And she's still living. So
that's so funny that you're talking about her, and then this clock that was a gift from her starts chiming.
Yeah.
I love it.
So to answer the question, so my grandmother was a quilter. And I remember going to Toledo, Ohio, and seeing her quilting pieces. She did a lot of, like, tapestry. She did blankets, quilts. Mm. She did a lot of things. She did. She was a seamstress. So there was a lot of things there that I remember as a child. That I remember. But, of course, as a child, you really don't think about family history. You don't think about how important quilting is to the family and to the Black community and culture in general as a whole. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I went to graduate school at Cranbrook Academy of Art. I was actually in the photography department wanting to pursue my photography. But something just hit me. I don't know if it was just being in a cohort of artists that were working in fiber, just being around textile artists in the photography department that kind of made me like rethink my journey and what I can produce and what I had the capabilities of doing. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of research on G's Bend. I don't know if you're familiar with that quilting group. And just started studying their history and like what quilting meant to them.
Can you share any of that, Julian? Because I am not familiar.
It was a quilting group. And back in the day, it was one of those things that it wasn't an option to quilt. It was more of like a mandatory thing for them to quilt for their families, to keep their families warm during the winter months, for them to sleep on, cots for their children to sleep on. So it's a lot of stories from G's Bend, how women really used everything they had. One woman actually used, I think her husband was deceased, and she used all of the clothing from her deceased husband to make this quilt.
Oh my goodness.
So it just touched me in so many ways. And basically, to make a long story short, it was a curator, I believe, that went to G's Bend, found them, and then that's when they started getting the recognition that they deserved. Mm-hmm. And you got to think about the fact that these women really weren't thinking about the quilting as an art subject, right, or in the art context. They were just making quilts, and for their quilts to really be like one of a kind abstraction, geometric pieces of fine art, is what really touched me in some way. That these women had no knowledge of art, didn't have any training background, nothing with color theory, nothing. I think they had natural taste in color, but didn't really understand the fundamentals in color theory.
Mm-hmm.
So just their whole story just really touched me, and thinking about my grandmother, and then I started thinking, and then I was, my grandmother was telling me stories of my great-grandmother, Grandma Elsie.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born on the same day as me. She's also a Christmas baby
goodness.
So just things like that in the family that I just really didn't know about. Uh-huh. I feel like quilting definitely opened up a dialogue to like kind of research family roots and, you know, where do I come from? And the more I'm talking to like relatives, all of my cousins are artists or chefs or musicians.
Goodness.
So I come from a family of just musicians and artists as a whole anyway. So when I was in graduate school, I was like, oh, I wonder how I can like kind of switch this narrative or make quilting my own verbiage. So I started experimenting and started like, you know, just doing my own thing with my background in fashion photography, styling. I have a strong knowledge in color theory and color pairing and design and abstraction. So it's kind of like a mix of everything that I really enjoy. And that's when I really started getting a lot of attention at Cranbrook. When I will say my second year I was there, I got a lot of attention from the community and on campus. And that's just kind of how I've started my journey. Since then, I've been in numerous group exhibitions at museums, galleries. Actually, Richmond will be my third solo exhibition, which I'm really excited about. And I have three more solo exhibitions this year. So it's definitely taking, I think it's like an overwhelming response in some way. But in the same way, in that context, I still feel like I don't get the validation that I deserve as a quilter when it comes to the context of like exhibiting in more galleries, the contemporary galleries. So I still like struggle with that essence about how can my work still, how can I like change the narrative and make galleries want to show contemporary quilts in their galleries. And that's something that I constantly think about and ponder about probably every day, which is in the studio, because you see like more like ceramicists, you see more painters, sculptors.
I hear you saying that there's still challenges, still unknowns, and it's a process, isn't it? I mean, there are things mm-hmm. in our lives and in our careers that bit by bit we figure out, or we think we've got figured out, and then it's really a different way that things work out. I love hearing you talk about those beginning years when you were struggling with lack of connection, and then in large part finding that connection through quilting and mm-hmm. through, you know, right. exploring your family history. But as you said, there are parts of your journey that remain unknown, other parts of your journey that you already have figured out. And it makes me think about actually, you know, given what you've shared about your own experience as a child, as a younger artist, it makes me think about the next generation and how aware you are of those younger kids coming up when you put your art out into the world.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I feel like, let me go back. I had a show earlier this year at Wabash College mm-hmm. in Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Yeah.
And it was my first institution exhibition. So like being around college males and just hearing what they have to say. And that show was definitely more geared to like religion, you know? Mm-hmm. So to have a solo show about religion on a college campus, I felt like they really understood where I'm coming from. Just the topics I was talking about, things that I'm just thinking about, or just themes within religion that I'm always curious about.
Yeah.
I think stylistically they got my style. They understood where I was coming from. And I got a lot of feedback of like, we love how you utilize abstraction, because abstraction could be kind of redundant if it's just depending on the artist that you like. So those are all things that I think about. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like a natural thing for me to just do what I want to do, I feel like. But in the back of my head, just understanding about like having a style to it, having swag in some way, mm-hmm. you know, I always think about all of that. I think about and just think about some of my favorite artists, too, and how I can go to a gallery show with them in it and automatically know, oh, that's a Paul Verdero piece. Like, I know exactly right. his style. I know how he utilizes color. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I think about things, you know. Yeah. Even though I've experimented and tried different things throughout my career so early, mm-hmm. I still think about, you like, being unified and making sure my pieces connect in some way and, like... Mm. But still thinking about experimentation and not being too settled with it
yeah.
and trying new things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that really inspires me as I listen to you talk is that you seem so present. You seem like your art is kind of a, like what it's showing is your actual process. You know, like you're as a person, as an artist, as a creative person discovering this medium that we're talking about, you are what we're witnessing is actually your process, not looking at the finished product that's sort of set in stone and mm-hmm. observing what it is you've created. What we're observing mm-hmm. is you figuring it out.
Yeah.
Is that how it feels?
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because a lot of people don't understand that I really started this style roughly 4 years ago.
Okay,
I'm fairly new to the whole. I'm fairly new to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's fair to say that you're witnessing process for sure. Mm-hmm. But I feel like coming from a fashion background, I keep saying that I know what good taste is, just yes. looking at it and knowing what looks good and what doesn't look good. Like, I just have that natural talent.
Uh-huh.
So I definitely implement that within my practice, knowing like, oh, Julian, this does not look good. Do not put this out. Versus for, I feel like for this show at Richmond, it's definitely a push in like different color palettes, like mixing right. black color palettes with colorful. Like, it's right. it's definitely the first show stylistically that I've definitely tried to mix different things. Whereas, like, my first solo show was, like, all black quilts with Playground Detroit. And then, like, Wabash, my second solo exhibition was just... Well, I'm sorry, my third exhibition was just these like, sun-type palettes. The oranges, uh-huh. the yellows, the reds, the purples. But, for like, for Richmond, I feel like it's definitely a mix of all of that. So I'm kind of nervous how it's all going to look.
Yeah. I totally understand when you say that you feel nervous, but that sort of goes hand in hand with what I'm saying that I hear from you, which is, listen, I'm a human being. I'm maybe even a human being who's more sensitive to things than others as an artist, but I'm mm-hmm. going to show up and I'm going to show you what it is I'm experiencing. And we're all just going to mm-hmm. be in the space together, experiencing it and being human beings together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some of the pieces are actually, I have a series in the show called Introvert Dream. So it really mm-hmm. talks about the earlier stages of like how I am an introvert. I like to be by myself and like mm-hmm. how I use those experiences to kind of suppress myself in expression, I guess, in some right. way.
Right.
I think overall the show is beautiful. I'm very happy with how it's going to look. They actually came to my house earlier today to pick up all the work. So I was like, it's always a nervous thing when I'm delivering right, right. artworks. It's like,
the moment of truth, the moment of truth.
Right, right. And I can't do anything now. It's done. It's out of my hands now. But, I'm excited. I think the show is going to be beautiful. It's definitely a more edgier, dark side of me.
Mm.
Kind of connecting with the title, color coded, and what does that all say? What does that all mean? And, you know, I don't like to talk too much about it because I want the message to be open-ended. I don't want it to be forced. That's something about me in abstraction. I don't want to force a narrative.
Right.
And I just want my audience to kind of figure it out and put their pieces together. And there's some music references in the show, titles of songs that I'm listening to and enjoy. So it's a mix of everything. And I just want people to kind of just figure it out and connect the dots in some
well,
way.
That is a real gift to your audience. Yeah. And I, for one, am really excited to see how the show comes together. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Julian, for being with me today.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. It was a pleasure.
For the Richmond Art Museum, this is Kate Jetmore.